We're going to try to think about meditation, and we're going to try to tie where Mary Magdalene's, when she met Jesus for the first time, thank you. when she comes to meet Jesus, we're going to try to think about it with some Eucharistic overtones here. All right, so we'll see what's going to happen, how the Holy Spirit will turn this out for each and every one of us. Well, anyway, it says, Jesus reveals himself to Mary Magdalene. This is John 20:20, I believe, in that area. Because when Peter and John went back to their homes, Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. The angel asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you weeping? Who is it that you are searching for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out, "Teacher, Rabbi." Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is a beautiful meditation, my dear friends. In the first part, we'll say, the first part here will be that Mary stayed at the tomb, right? And this is basically what we're doing here with Jesus, right? We're staying with Jesus. It says, whenever any one of us lingers long with the Lord, as Mary did, she was there, she didn't go home like the apostles did, she stayed there. The Lord, we usually open up ourselves to his ongoing revelations, especially after communion. If we stay and linger with him, allowing him to fill us with his presence and to speak to us, to our minds and our hearts, we will receive a more personal revelation. That is why the church recommends quiet time along with Jesus, especially in Eucharistic adoration. We have to be willing to let everything and everyone go that we can linger alone with Jesus. This can be a good meditation for you to think about, to be alone with Jesus. Let everything and let everyone go, okay? You're searching for the Lord? Are you looking for love? Are you looking for the person love? You have him right here. The Eucharist is the glorified body of Jesus. You saw the passion yesterday. You see how his body was treated. You saw how his soul must have hurt, how he was in anguish, how men, the men who you created, hated him. He came to bring men to God, to show them God's love, and they destroyed him by his sins. They didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to get him out of their sight. And this is the time we get to make up for all of that. We get a chance to be with Jesus. We get a chance to linger with Jesus. We get a chance to open up our hearts to listen to him and to hear his words. And if we come before the Lord with sincere hearts, he's going to tell us beautiful things. He's going to speak to our hearts. He's going to touch our hearts. He's going to caress our heart. He's going to make himself present. And all the apparitions that there are in the Bible of Jesus and the resurrection, Jesus always comes to them. He's always hidden. They never recognize Jesus. We have a lack of faith. We don't seem to recognize the true presence of our Lord here with us in the Eucharist. The second point is Mary wept. Mary wept. The longing in her heart had reached a fever pitch. So deeply was her heart touched by the love of our Lord. When we weep, Jesus comes running. Jesus comes running. Jesus wants to wipe away those tears, okay? Jesus knows that we suffer. Jesus knows that we have certain problems in our lives, difficulties. We struggle with our sins. Maybe those that we love are on the wrong path. We suffer. There's many different ways that we suffer. Each and every one of you have your particular sufferings. And sometimes these sufferings can lead us into despair, and they can lead us to the point of weeping, to truly weeping. We have no other opportunity, we see no way out, and this is a good time to go before the Lord, to bring your problems, to bring your sufferings, everything that bothers you, bring it before the Lord and weep before the Lord. Tell him your problems. When the Lord sees you weeping, he will come to wipe away those tears. He will make himself present, my dear friend. He will give you that consolation or the strength that you need to bear the cross that you have to carry. Third point, Jesus comes unrecognized. So in the Eucharist, we do not physically see the Lord, but only the appearance of bread and wine. And in most all of the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus comes unrecognized, for he is preparing us for his new presence, not only in the Eucharist, but in the mystical body. Without faith, we would not recognize him. Two presences, I love that. He's preparing us. In all these the apparitions that he has in the resurrection, post-resurrection, he is preparing us for a new presence. All the apostles, the disciples in Emmaus, Mary Magdalene, the disciples, they just don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. He appears to them, he talks to them, but he doesn't recognize him. And this is what he's preparing us for, my dear friends. His presence in the Eucharist. And not only his presence in the Eucharist, but his hidden presence in each and every one of us, his mystical body. When we deal with people, are we conscious that Jesus is truly living in that person? Do we truly love others the way God truly wants us to love them? Do we try to see through the imperfection of the person we're looking at and try to see the living presence of Jesus, of the Holy Trinity in that person? When we look at Jesus in the Eucharist, do we truly have the faith to see his true presence in that little piece of what seems to be a piece of bread? Is it truly there? When we receive him in the Eucharist, do we truly have that faith to believe he is now in me? I'm truly united to my Lord. Truly, truly united to my Lord. That union, my dear friend, that union with Christ in the Eucharist, that should be the center of our whole day. We should be longing for that union. And daily, from one day to another, to another, to another, to another, we should always be looking to unite ourselves to the Lord more and more and more and more. If we let one day go by without wanting to go to Mass, without desiring to go to Mass, it's a day wasted. We'll never get it back. Think about it. Yesterday's gone. We'll never get it back. All the people in the world that had an opportunity to go to Mass and didn't go will never get that opportunity back again. Never. You have to watch out for that, my dear friends. When you have an opportunity to go to Mass and you know you can go to Mass, don't let it go by. Don't say, okay, I have to do this, I have a paper to do. Go to the Eucharist, God will give you the grace to do the paper. And once you receive him, he'll give you enough light to do your paper better, okay? Everything is better with the Lord. Don't put off the Lord, okay? What is your greatest love? What is the treasure of your heart? If he is your treasure, your mind will be on him. Your heart will be desiring him. If something else is your greatest treasure, that's what you're going to be thinking about. That's what you're going to be desiring. It's simple. That's simple. Who you love, what you love, will be on your mind. If you love Jesus, Jesus will be on your mind. If you love the things of the world are going to be on your mind. So what do? We have to make that examination of conscience and ask, okay, Lord, I notice that you're not on my mind too often. I need you to help me, Lord. Give me that light. Give me that grace. Give me that desire. Weep before him. Weep that Jesus isn't the one that should be on your mind. The tears, I tell you, tears are going to attract the love of God and the mercy of God. When we see ourselves, when we ourselves in our poverty, when we see how weak we are, okay, and we admit it before the Lord, and we humble ourselves before the Lord, he truly does come running. He truly does come to console us. He truly does come to us to give us that strength that we need. And we have to have the faith that the Lord truly cares about us that much. The fourth point, Jesus calls her by her name. One of the ways that God deals with us is individually and personally. He calls each of us by name. He gives us a personal, here and now, existential, concrete revelation of himself. Nobody else has the same faith walk as you do. Nobody else has the same personality, problems, worries, fears, or relationship with Jesus as you do. He calls us by name. Every time we receive the Eucharist, He comes to us personally. Personally, personally. Remember that. He calls you by name. And it's when He called Mary by her name, Mary, that's when her eyes were opened. That's when she discovered who Jesus was. When He calls you by name, look for that intimacy. Ask the Lord for the grace to be able to hear Him say your name. How would He say your name if He said your name? Would He say it with sweetness? Would He say it with tenderness? Would He say it to you with a certain desire to get to know you, to reveal Himself to you so you get to know Him? Or would He say it to you impatiently? How long have I waited for you? How long have I waited for you? How long am I waiting for you? When are you going to start to think of me? When are you going to desire me? When will your heart beat for me? Like He said to Sister Faustina. When will your heart beat for me? The fifth point. God gives us detailed instructions. Do not cling to me. Go to the brothers. In as much the same way, whenever we linger with the Lord, especially in the Eucharist, and especially in Eucharistic adoration, He gives us detailed instructions on what His will is for our life. We all know that we are called, above all, to do the will of God, to sanctity. But we cannot do God's will unless He reveals it to us. And He cannot reveal it to us unless we linger with Him and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." There is a balance here between the contemplative and the active life. At times, Jesus says, "Come apart and cling only to me." We see this in Jeremiah 13. The Lord says, "Cling to me," says the Lord. "Be my people. Be my renown. Be my praise. Be my beauty." What a beautiful thing. When we cling to the Lord, that's exactly what happens to us, my dear friends. We become like Him. All His attributes start to rub off on us. To be before the Lord is like being in a beauty salon. For all you ladies, I say this every now and then. Do you want to be truly beautiful? Do you want to be spiritually beautiful? Put yourself in His presence. You will not walk out of this room the same after this hour, or however long you're going to be here today. His mercy, His divine essence will rub off on you just by you being in His presence. You may not feel it, you may not notice it, but there is a transformation going on within each and every one of us right now. We are in the presence of holiness. This holiness will affect our soul. It's going to touch our soul. It's going to have its consequences, cause and effect. Okay? If God is all holy, if He is this fire, okay, this divine fire of love, He cannot but give Himself to us. He desires always to give Himself to us. And when He sees us here before Him with our hearts open, He's going to fill your hearts, and His love is going to start to transform you. Allow Him to speak to you, heal you, love you, and fill you with His Spirit. But there is also a time when He tells us to go to our brothers, His mystical body, to reach out to them, to evangelize them, and forgive them, help them, and support them. This is basically why you're here also in this spiritual exercises, is to know what the Lord wants of you. Okay, hopefully you were asking the Lord your little questions. What does He want to do with your life? One thing you can be sure of, He wants you to love the people that He puts into your life. Love them, be patient with them, help them. How can you console them? How can you comfort them? How can you bring them to Him? All the people in Ave Maria that don't know God, that don't have the faith, are very weak in faith, that don't go to daily Mass, that don't have the faith like you have, to be able to do these things, like go to spiritual exercises. They need you. You have to go out there and talk to them. I mean, God will use your words, and through your words, He will start to stir up these feelings in their hearts. But if nobody talks to them, if they're stuck in the world, if their mind is in the world, how are they going to come to know the love of God? How are they going to come to know that God is risen, that He exists, He's alive. He's alive and He loves. If they're looking for love in all the wrong places, what's going to happen? All they're going to get is sadness, sadness, more sadness. They need to come into the presence of the Lord. They need to have this experience of the love of God. Ask the Lord to help you to do this. Ask the Lord to give you grace to truly set your heart on fire so you can walk out of here contagious with the love of God. So all the people that you come in contact with, they're going to know there's something special in this person. There's something in this person that I don't have. I don't have and I want. Right? I want what's in that person. What is it? Tell me. Where are you getting this from? Where are you getting that spiritual energy from? How come you can do all these things? I'm so tired. And I see you running around doing this, that, and the other thing. The Lord, He's my strength, my energy.